When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
What up, what up, what up, what up? Hello. Hello. What up, y'all? What's going on? CHGO Bulls Podcast. I'm very excited. It is Friday. It is Friday. Thank y'all for joining us on this wonderful Friday. Man, I am Big Dave. Follow me at Ball Sports. That perfectly coiffed gentleman over there is Will the Go Gottlieb. Follow him at Will _ Gottlieb. We are today produced by the one and only Law Dog himself, Mr. Lawrence B. I don't even like saying your last name. I just call you Lawrence B. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great, man. Yeah, let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun, Lawrence. It's Friday, man. Oh, and he came dressed. Oh, man. All right. You did it all. You did better than me. All right. Wonderful job, man. Will, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Ready to get this. I think it's like our maybe second weekend of the off season. So starting to feel more like a normal person, not working, you know, nights and weekends. But hey, I can't complain. I love talking about the Bulls. I love talking with you. And I'm ready to talk about some good and some bad from the Arturis Karnišovas tenure.
Yes, we will get into that. We will list the best and the worst, or the three best and worst things we have seen from the tenure of Arturis Karnišovas since his time here as vice president of basketball ops with the Chicago Bulls. That should be fun. I'm sure you guys have some opinions about that in the comments. Feel free to share them. Also, we're going to get into the NBA playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. I am very excited about that as well. That should be very, very fun to do. But first, we got some awards to hand out, Will. Some of our guys are award-winning and doing things that are really, really, really great. And, of course, I am talking about Adam Amin and Stacey King. So, awful announcing. Right. Yes, yes, yes. Will has probably met them many times, so that's his super flex in life. But, you know, Adam's my guy, too. Flex a little bit on that, you know what I mean?
This is a joint flex. Joint flex.
Joint flex. Those are the best kind of flexes, ladies and gentlemen. Joint flex. Why does that sound like something you rub on you?
Joint flex. For arthritis.
That's right. But they released their list of the local NBA announcer rankings, their top rankings. They went over all 30 teams. And out of those 30 teams, Stacey King and Adam Amin came into the top five. They finished at number four, ladies and gentlemen. So congratulations to them, first and foremost. The number four ranked local announcing team as far as NBA coverage is concerned. Their score was a 2.79 as compared to, it seems like they do this every 5 years. Their previous ranking was 15 in 2016, and it was 25 in 2020. And their previous scores in that year were 2.41 and 2.08. So, Will, that is a huge jump from 25 4 years ago all the way jumping to number four, sir. How do you feel about these rankings here for the guys?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie and say I really understand how they're being graded, but I mean, they've just been like super consistent. I don't really know why they were worse in 2020 than they are now. I've always thought Adam and Stacey are great. Like the entertainment value, Adam is just like, I mean, we know how good he is. He's doing NFL on Fox. He's doing World Series baseball games. Like he is top of the top. And we're lucky to hear him on 82 Bulls broadcast. I mean, that is just a treat. And then Stacey, it goes without saying, like he's the most entertaining in the business. He is great personality. The nicknames are endless. The cookies. I mean, it's just down the line. He's just fantastic. You know, sometimes I disagree with the analysis that he provides, but
sure.
I disagree with a lot of people all the time, and people disagree with me too. So that's fine. We all love those two. They do a tremendous job. And yeah, it's been very cool to get to know Adam in particular over the last couple of years. He's just the nicest guy in the world, always going out of his way to say what's up, compliment, you know, our show, something that I've written. And for a superstar of his stature, it is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Because it makes me realize like I'm not just totally insane. Because when I listen to them, you know, I have, you know, NBA League Pass. So I hear a lot of the local announcers, and the good ones, you know, always, thank you. The good ones always pop out, and, you know, you hear them and you're like, wow, they're pretty good. So like the first one I thought of was the Indiana Pacers were the first ones I thought of. And I saw they came in about number 16. I was like, yeah, that's deserving, because I thought that was a really great lineup with Quinn Buckner as the analysis and Chris, I think it's Denari is his name, who's the play-by-play guy. So when I would hear them, oh, of course, I would hear, you know, the Brooklyn Nets, you know, shout out Sarah Kustak and Ian Eagle. So when I would hear these people, and then I would see that they're ranked pretty high on these things, it lets me know I'm not insane. So, and Will, when I'm scrolling through this list, and I was like, okay, when I got to the top 10, I said, wait a minute, they're in the top 10? I couldn't believe it. I'm not used to seeing the Bulls be ranked high in anything. I don't care what it is. So I scrolled back down, and I went to 30th and started over. Because I just knew I missed it. And I was like, oh, shit, they're in the top. Wow. And then when they're in the top five, I really was freaking out. And I was just really excited. But everything you said is dead on and right. Stacey, I mean, I think everybody is meant to be agreed with and disagreed with. You know, when you're an analysis or even when you're doing the show like ours all the time, I get disagreed with all the time. I'm sure you do too as well.
Absolutely.
But you know, people do agree with things that you're saying. You know, it's not a one-sided situation. But at the end of the day, it's also the entertainment they provide. And that's one thing you can't take away from them, Will, is both of those guys are thoroughly, and I mean thoroughly, entertaining.
And they also like clearly have a great relationship to one another. Like they're joking around, they're having fun. Just the way that they call the games, like, you know, the Bulls were fortunate to have as many, like as much as we kind of make jokes about it, like they did have a lot of good games this year, a lot of close games, yeah. A lot of competitive games. There's also a lot of games where teams get blown out and or team is blowing another team out. And for them to be consistently having fun and entertaining on the broadcast, regardless of what the score is, whether, you know, DeRozan is rising up for potential game winner or they just got blown up by the Pistons in a game where they shot 2 of 27 from three, you know, they're having a really good time out there. And I think that really rubs off on the fan base as well.
Yeah, Will. So I'm not going to go over everyone in here. I will tell you the word. Do you want to guess who came in last? Who came in dead last?
Well, I already know the answer. That would be the Warriors broadcast.
Your peoples.
Yeah, they do not like the Warriors broadcast. And I can say from experience watching them and watching a lot of those broadcasts, like their homerism is intense.
Okay. All right. Did you see who came in first before I go over it? Do you know who was?
I did not see who came in first.
Okay. Well, then I'll start at the top five. I'll give you number five right now, because it's a crew that I like and I think is really honestly tied to the Bulls, and that's the Charlotte Hornets broadcast.
They're tied to the Bulls. And
they are tied to the Bulls. I'm saying in a way of memory, because when I think of them, I immediately think of Zach LaVine's game where he hit 14 threes. And I like listening to their version of what happened during it, because they are going completely insane. And I like their homerism, but they couldn't hold back that they were watching greatness at the time. And all I hear is, you know, oh no. And then he hits the shot. He's like, you're kidding. And he's losing his mind. Like, I really think they're really good. And he's really loud and he yells all the time. And you know, I like it. So yeah, I think they're very good over there in Charlotte. They came in number five, Eric Collins and Dale Curry. Bulls came Del in Curry, at number four. Go ahead.
I was gonna say Dale Curry's great. Yeah, I think he does a great job.
Yeah, he does. He does a great job, man. As a father and as a teacher. Shout out Steph. Shout out Seth for real. We know the Bulls were number four. Number three, Will, is a team in the South. They're in the West. they were in the playoffs.
In the Southwest in the playoffs. Okay, yes, so that would be like one of the Texas teams or maybe the Pelicans?
That is correct. The New Orleans Pelicans with Joel Myers and Antonio Daniels. You got it right. Antonio Daniels, man. I don't think Pelicans when I think Antonio Daniels. I think Spurs when I think him. But, you know, he does a good job down there. I got to give it to him. They really do a good job. They are very even keeled. They're not – their homerism is there, but they are an even keeled duo. Number two, I mentioned them already. They're just great.
It's got to be – the top two have to be the Knicks and the Nets.
In what order, sir, is the question?
I'll go Knicks one. Mike Breen is the GOAT, and I will go Nets two. Shout out to old friend Sarah Kustak.
And that is why you are the GOAT, sir. Absolutely nailed it, right on point. Iron Eagle, Noah Eagle also, Ryan Rucco there as well, Richard Jefferson, Vince Carter when he's there. Yeah,
professional cast of guys that are doing big games, doing ESPN. Same with Breen, obviously. But both of those broadcasts are really great.
Yeah, Sarah's incredible, as we all know, man. She is really, really special about what she does. But yes, number one, Mike Breen, of course. Mike Breen and Walt Frazier, man, which I think is kind of cheating because, you know, it's Mike Breen. You know what I mean? He does, like, the ESPN. I mean, we all know Mike Breen. We know he's great. Like, he could have been on any team, and they would have been number one. Seriously, like, it's Mike Breen, dog. But deserving. Walt Clyde Frazier is super entertaining. Love the suits on Walt Clyde Frazier, man. He's always rhyming, you know, always sounds like Snagglepuss, the cartoon from the back in the day, like, you know, oh yeah, it's smooth even. Like, he's always like that, bro. So, yeah, shout out to them, man. I like their broadcast, dude.
Yeah, they're awesome. I will say this, though, with regards to Mike Breen. Okay. I missed the Breen, Van Gundy, Mark Jackson trio on ESPN games this year.
I agree. And it's more so I miss them all because I miss the fun of it. Like, listen, and nothing against Doris Burke and J.J. Redick.
No, they're fantastic. But I want
they are
in addition.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, yes. It feels a little bit like school sometimes. You know what I mean? And I need a little bit of a recess. Just a little bit. I need a little bit of recess, man. And Jeff Van Gundy, oh my gosh, he is something. I really miss his voice at this time, especially in the playoffs, man. But they had great chemistry. But no, nothing against Doris Burke. She's great. Nothing against J.J. Redick. He'll soon be coaching the Lakers. We'll be talking about that soon, man. But shout out to them. One more thing before we take a break. I don't know if you knew this, but did you know Walt Clyde Frazier signed a lifetime contract with Puma? Did you know this?
I did not know
that. Jay-Z, one of his first moves when he got to Puma was when he got Walt Clyde Frazier a lifetime contract with Puma, dog. I thought that was the coolest thing ever, bro. Like, seriously. Really cool. Yes, and I don't like the Knicks at all, but I respect those kind of things. And I thought that was pretty cool, man. So shout out to him, bro, and that's really cool. So, Lawrence, just let me know we're entering a break zone, so we'll take a break right here. When we come back, we will get into the best and we will get into the worst of Arturis Karnišovas's decision-making since his tenure here with the Chicago Bulls. Make sure you're hitting that thumbs, ladies and gentlemen. We need the thumbs, even though Joey is not here. We still want the thumbs. Lawrence wants them. He needs them. We got to have them, dog. Send that to us. Show us the love. We'll be right here. But before I go, I got a question. Will, what time is it?
Game time.
That's a shooter, ladies and gentlemen. Game time is the authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on game time actually go down. You heard what I said? They go down the closer it gets to the tip-off with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee. Game time will take that guesswork out of buying those tickets. Like I said, they got the last minute deals, y'all. Save up to 60% off buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, you name it. 60% off of buying last minute tickets. They got the flash deals. You can save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or the event. And of course, they got the zone deals where you can save more money and choose the section, and Game Time will do that selection and they will save you a ton of cash that way as well. And they have my favorite, the views from your seat. When you're tall and big, or tall or big, you would like to know where you will be sitting in an arena, so you know how to stretch out and how to move. Game Time will do that for you, man, when you check out those seat views, and you can chill on out. Their lowest price guarantee or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. You heard what I said? 110% of the difference is what you will get back if they do not meet that lowest price guarantee that they lay out for you. So take the guesswork out of buying those NBA tickets, y'all, with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code CHGO, get yourself $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, use that code CHGO, $20 off your first purchase is what you're going to get. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guarantee. Because Lawrence, Law Dog, sir, what time is it?
Dang on, who?
Oh, yeah, he's on point.
He was ready for that one.
Yes, he was.
And Dave, if you are ready to place some wagers, you should look for our friends at Prize Picks, because Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in all of North America. It is the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It is just you against the numbers. So instead of battling thousands of other players like pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on two to six player stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in. This playoff season, the star means more on Prize Picks. So keep an eye out for starred players on the board. You could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. Prize Picks also offers injury insurance, so that way your lineups stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured this playoff basketball season. Jarrett Allen tonight, he's questionable for the Cavs Magic game 6. Maybe you want to take a look at what his rebound numbers are on Prize Picks, but if he doesn't play, you're not going to get penalized, because if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. We've had a lot of fun with Prize Picks on this show. Joey showing us what stats we can take a look at, and there's some good ones tonight. Like I said, Jarrett Allen over 14 and a half points, looking pretty good. And then, of course, Luka Doncic, 52.5 points, rebounds, assists. I just feel like Luka is going to go nuclear tonight and close out the Clippers. But if you want to get in on the action, you must go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO using code CHGO. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let's get to some fun stuff. It's Friday. Let's get to it. Some of it might make you smile. Some of it might make you sad. But we're going to have some fun with this, man. We are going over some of the best and worst moves that Arturis Karnišovas has made during his time here with the Chicago Bulls. Let's start with the best. We'll start with the good stuff first. We'll get you dessert first.
Because there is good stuff. There is good stuff. I know we have criticized AK pretty heavily on this show, and I think deservedly so. But I also think this is a good time to do it. Talk about some of the great moves that he has made, because he really has, he's got some steals on this roster. So like we kind of touched on yesterday, not all is lost. I think they're in, they have to go down the right path and continue to make good moves here. But AK has done really well on a couple of these contracts, and we're going to talk about them.
All right, Will, I'll let you start. Will, you are the GOAT. You are the writer supreme. We will start with you and your brilliance, sir.
I think I will go ahead and start with the hustle player of the year, Mr. Hustle himself, Alex Caruso. Three years at the mid-level exception, which at the time of the contract was about $9 million. I mean, just he has outperformed that by at least double all defensive first team last year. He's going to be all defensive team member again this year, whether it's first or second team. He is just a really special player, and you know, he was great with the Lakers when they signed him, and obviously the Lakers made a big mistake, and all their fans are constantly letting me know it in my mentions on Twitter anytime I post something positive about Caruso. But he really has evolved his game and grown a lot in his time with the Bulls. It's not like he came in as this finished product who was already elite, but like the second he came in, I think he stepped into a bigger role than he had with the Lakers. You know, he and I have talked about like the ability for him and Lonzo playing off of one another, those first 60 games where they were just wreaking havoc and getting steals and getting in passing lanes. And I mean, that was just really special to watch. But then obviously he carried that on his own, and he's been outstanding the last 2 years. He's played a career high in games. He's expanded his offensive role and skill set. He shot over 40% on threes. He has just been outstandingly good. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, then why do you want to trade him so bad? Well, because he's so good, the Bulls could get a lot back for him. That's why. Caruso, yeah. And especially considering the contract that he's on, which again, $9 million for a player that can, he's like a, you know, he's an 82 game player in the sense that he can let it all out there for the full regular season, but he's also a 16 game player, and he can be somebody that swings a championship, in my opinion. Like, he's that good. He can be a valuable member in the closing group of a championship caliber team. And so I really want to see him play at that level again, because he deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you just reminded me as to why I always, you know, kind of called him Rims, because you just reminded me of that time with Lonzo Ball and watching them play, especially defensively, what they were doing to teams and teams. They were just absolutely wrecking them. And you just realized like he was used perfectly because he wasn't completely dependent on, you know, he got his minutes, you know, he did his thing, but he didn't have to be out there for such a long time. He could come in, wreak havoc, and leave. But it's a testament to him that when they called upon him to do more and asked him to be more of a service, to do different things on the Chicago Bulls, especially offensively, he really stepped up. We saw it this year, especially with his three-point shot. Like, he really stepped up and improved as a three-point shooter. He's not a guy who's going to run your offense or anything like that, but he can play three positions for your team and guard five. You know, like that's really a really special skill for somebody, you know, at the height that he is and the size that he is, being asked to play more minutes, do more offensively, and do more to help your team. The other thing about him too, Will, is I think he is a great mentor for these young guys. And I feel like he's older than what he really is, just by, you know, the way he carries himself, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way he's constantly yelling at guys, calling out coverages, telling guys where to be, telling guys where to put their hands, where to move, where the screens are coming from, how to blow up plays before they happen, all this from the sideline. Like, he is just truly a special defender. And, you know, he is a role player in the sense that he's not a superstar. He's obviously, you know, a starter who plays heavy minutes and has a big role on this team. But if you think about it in the sense that, like, I think he is pretty much the best perimeter defender in the league. Like, you know, Herb Jones has a case. Just off the top of my head, there's other guys like, you know, Marcus Smart, obviously won Defensive Player of the Year, but he was hurt. There's a lot of good defensive players on the perimeter. I think Caruso is up there, if not number one. And to get a player on a contract for less than $10 million a year, who is the best in the league at what they do, and what they do is super important, and you can build an entire defense around it. Like, we can sing Caruso praises for the full hour of the show, but going back to the signing itself and AK making a great move, like, he's just gotten so much more out of that signing than you ever would anticipate. I mean, that's part of the question that I have about Caruso longer term too, is like, you know, he's eligible starting July 6th for a 4-year extension worth almost $80 million. Are you willing to be the team that gives him that? Does he still provide you positive value if he's making that much money? Would he even stay for that much money? Does he want to play at a higher level? So again, a lot of questions about where you go from here, and we'll spend all summer talking about it. But in terms of the value deal, in terms of AK's ability to like find and identify talent, plug them into a system and have a vision and execute towards it, like, Caruso is as big a piece of that as DeRozan, as Lonzo, as Vooch. Like, he really is this important. And to get him on that contract, it was an absolute steal. It was, in my opinion, easily AK's best move.
All right. Let's go to my best move that I have for AK. Lawrence, could you put that up, please? And that is the contract of one Alec Jacoby White. Talking about getting a bang for your buck. All right. This is a 2-for-1. If you out there getting something to eat, this is a buy one, get one free. You know what I'm saying? That you got with Kobe White, dog, for real. The man's contract is 3 years, $36 million. That's what, $12 million a year for Kobe White. And we saw the numbers that he put up and the way that he evolved and the way that he grew, going from averaging 9 points to averaging 18 a game for the Bulls, took over as their number two. Like, he just completely took that over. There was no ranking system, like one and then somebody way down. Is he the number two? Might be the number two. No, Kobe ended all that and said, no, it's me. It's me. Give me the ball. I got this. But as I talked about last time, Will, I really have liked the way that he has grown as a leader and somebody that you might consider building your team around. And to be able to have all those thoughts and being, you know, coming up runner up for six man of the year in a really tight race with Tyrese Maxey. But to do all of that, you know, and to be like, I can build around this guy for a dude that you're giving $12 million a year to, that is a steal. That is an absolute steal that AK got for Kobe White.
Yeah, same deal. The mid-level exception, essentially, obviously it wasn't actually the mid-level, but that's kind of what the money was for the mid-level exception this year. Mm-hmm. We spent, you know, 30 minutes 2 days ago talking about Kobe White and how great he was this past season, the way that he's evolved his game, stepped up to him into a bigger role. You know, the one thing I didn't get to mention on that show, I don't know that we talked about like our overall grades, and I had his offense at a B+. I had his defense a little bit lower, but I had his overall grade as an A. And the reason I did that is because his leadership grew into such an important element of his game. The way that he, like you said, Dave, stepped into a bigger role on this team as the number two scoring option, stepped into a role as a vocal leader of this team. That was a big change for him. I mean, he went from like playing less than 15 minutes per game the previous year to being fourth in the league in total minutes this year. I mean, that's a huge boom in his role, in his volume, in his production. And he stepped up to the task. And like you said, I mean, similar with Caruso, where the value that he provides on the court just far exceeds the value that his contract is. And I think I had Kobe number two on my list. The only reason I didn't have him even higher is because it was only 3 years. I mean, AK could have signed him for that fourth year. Rookies, you can actually, starting last year, sign rookies to a 5-year extension. So it would have been an opportunity to lock him up for long-term, make him a real foundational piece of this team. Instead, it was only 3 years, which again is great value on those 3 years. But the problem is now you're running into the situation where you're kind of at a changing of the guard. You don't know what direction you want to go. And it would have been great to have him locked up even longer. And so there's this element of like, did you really believe in him on that level? And obviously the answer was no. Nobody thought he was going to take a jump like this, probably besides the people in his camp. But I mean, he was outstanding and it is a great deal. I just wish that he would be under contract a little bit longer, so you're not starting to think about what happens next already.
Yeah, I'm okay with the 3-year though. I think that's fair. For him, because I think anything longer might create some bitterness, you know, as far as like, if I'm outplaying this contract, you know, I'm not saying he's like this at all. I'm just saying I've seen players be like that. Scottie Pippen is the one that immediately comes to my mind, who might say, man, you know, I'm not making what I should be making. I don't even want it to be a thought. I don't even want it to be a story, you know, for Kobe White to be like that. So I'm okay with the 3 because he's going to be deserving of whatever money he gets for his next contract. So I'm cool with the 3 years. I'm ready to go into next year though with him as, depending on who's there, he could be your one or your two, you know, depending on who's going to be there for the Chicago Bulls next year. You can put him in pen or put him in stone as one of your best players on the squad, man. And that is saying something for the contract that he has. I actually have Alex Caruso, Will, at number two, because you have Kobe right there. I have Alex right there at number two, man, for all the reasons that we just listed. I mean, he's just been awesome. And then just to even be the only player in the league that's still wearing Bill Russell's number, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's the only one still rocking it, dog, just out of that kind of respect. Like, you just got to love Alex Caruso, man. Like, he came in looking like a vet. You, when he was with the Lakers, you thought he was a 6-year vet. Like, he just always looks like that, man, just the way he plays and he takes this game seriously. And as people will say, playing the right way, you know, how they kind of do it. That's definitely Alex Caruso on and off the floor. That's him. So,
yeah, not much more I can add to Caruso. I feel like I've sung his praises. But I mean, the other thing that I'll just say about his contract, if we're talking about it specifically from like a signing perspective, is AK got the fourth year of that deal partially guaranteed for $3 million. Now, obviously, he's going to pick up that option and Caruso will be under contract because he is probably, you know, one of the top value deals in the league, but understanding that he is the kind of player who gets injured a lot because of the way that he plays, the effort that he plays with, how he's thrown his body around to potentially save, you know, $6 million on that deal in the final year in the event that something did go catastrophically wrong. That was a good, like we talk a lot about AK not giving himself outs. That's an example of an out that he gave himself to be able to, you know, save a little bit money on that if he needed to. And obviously he won't end up needing to because Caruso has been outstanding and far exceeded the value of that deal.
All right, let's get to number three, Will. Who'd you have for number three?
Three, I will go with the other breakout from this year, Iotasumu, our guy, $6 million a year. I believe it was like a three-year, $21 million contract. And again, just completely outplayed that. You know, Dosunmu's role is probably not as great as either Caruso or Kobe's, but he's also making less. But just still, I mean, to get that kind of consistent production from a guy for $6-7 million a year, I mean, that is just like to be able to have that luxury to where now you can afford to overpay on some of your other foundational pieces, putting your roster together. I mean, that's the value of it right there. And, you know, depending on what direction this team goes, yeah, maybe he steps into an even bigger role. But I again, the reason I didn't go higher is because one, it's only 3 years. And now you're going to run into the same situation that you're in with Kobe. But two is he also signed Javon Carter to kind of block him and play ahead of him in the rotation. So it shows to me that there wasn't like complete faith. And obviously there was a desire to keep him, a desire for him to be around because obviously there was a level of belief there. But, you know, he could have been in a position where he stepped into a larger role and you kind of pay him accordingly. So I think it was a great deal, great value contract. He's going to be another one of those guys that has value around the rest of the league. So it is kind of nitpicking, but I just think like the fact that it wasn't longer is like the only downside. And again, that's kind of nitpicking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To go from being basically the odd man out to being one of your starters who you couldn't really live without this season as it went on says a lot about Iotasumu and the growth of his game too, man. Number three for me, Will Gottlieb, was trading for DeMar DeRozan. And I know his is kind of up in the air. You know, as far as we don't know what it could be because we don't know if the Bulls will walk away with that pick or not, that top 10 protected pick from the Spurs. But the player that we got in DeMar DeRozan has been absolutely incredible. This is not Toronto DeRozan or Spurs DeRozan. This is the best version of DeMar DeRozan from either one of those places. The numbers will tell you that. This is the best he's been in his career was here in Chicago with the Bulls. Second team All-NBA his first year, also an All-Star. He was an All-Star the very next year. Like, his numbers are just always consistent. Everything they've asked him to do on and off the floor, he has done it. They asked him to be that leader on and off the floor. He does it. They asked him to take over in the fourth quarter. He's clutch every single year. He's at the top, you know, as far as clutch points every single year. They asked him to improve his three-point shooting, something he didn't do well. He did that too. Like, and you just didn't want him to shoot 29%. You wanted him to step back and take a couple more. Well, then he stepped back and he took a couple more and he's shooting around 32, which for him is super respectable. DeMar DeRozan has been awesome. He's been one of the best Bulls, best trades the Bulls have ever gotten in ever. Like, he really has. Like, the numbers have proven it. Anytime you're mentioning him with Jordan, anytime you're mentioning him with Wilt Chamberlain, you're doing something special, man. But DeMar DeRozan has been absolutely amazing on and off the floor for the Bulls, Will.
No debate on his production, the way that he has carried himself as a leader of this team, you know, just like a figurehead for the Chicago Bulls. I've raved about DeRozan a ton, but he is outstanding. Although I will say, Dave, and maybe we can talk about this after our next break here, I was pretty conflicted about the DeRozan signing in general. And I think from a cap and roster management standpoint, and that's what I feel like we're talking about here with regards to AK's best moves, that move was not without risk. And there is some downside to it that, you know, could end up playing a role as soon as next season. But maybe we can get more into that after the break.
Yeah, we'll definitely get a little more into that after the break because that's why I kind of hesitated putting him three. But then I thought, no, he's just been too great. So I had to leave him at three there, but we'll get into that. We're going to take our final break here. When we come back, we will continue with this discussion and then get into the worst moves that AK has made. I know Will is foaming at the mouth to get into this. Thank y'all to being there in the chat. I saw Pete Will supporters back in here supporting Patrick Williams all through the chat, man. So shout out to y'all, man, for hanging out. Make sure you're giving us a thumbs up and let us know you're enjoying the time. And while you're giving yourself a thumbs up, how about you treat yourself to something delicious from Salerno's Pizza? It's to see, oh, they have the best pizza. When we did the wrestling podcast, shout out to all y'all who watched. Salerno's was the one who supplied it. Shout out to Lawrence for that knowledge right there. They supplied it to us, man, and it was delicious. When I went and picked it up, they were very excited about what we were doing. They love CHGO. They appreciate everything that is going on over here. And because of that, they are showing us love. And so we want to show them some love. And by that, I mean getting you a deal. If you use CHGO, y'all, when you call in and you say CHGO, you will get 50% off your pizza. That is not a lie. It is the truth. 50% off your pizza. Just call them up at the Grand Avenue location, 312-666-3444. Half off your pizza is what you'll receive when you mention CHGO. So get on over there to their location, 1201 West Grand Avenue in the West Town here in Chicago, and enjoy yourself some deliciousness. For all the people who can't have gluten, guess what? They got gluten-free pizza as well. And it is delicious, according to my man Mario, who cannot have gluten. He says it is amazing. So yes, whether you're eating meat, whether you don't eat meat, whether you're gluten-free, however you want it, they're going to get it to you, man. And they'll get it to you at 50% off using the code CHGO. It's Salerno's on tap. Enjoy.
We've got about 40-something people here watching along with us on a Friday afternoon. So we love and appreciate you for it. Make sure you're hitting that like button for us, because we know if you're watching, that means you are a diehard CHGO member. And if you're not, you should consider becoming one and check out allchgo.com to learn more, because there's a ton of perks. Obviously, we do our daily show, and that's free for you guys on YouTube, but there's so much great content that's behind the paywall. You know, I've been doing a GOAT 101 series where I'm breaking down, you know, very, you know, small elements of the game, whether it's plays and X's and O's or salary cap stuff, or, you know, I'm going to be putting out our annual draft database with stats and numbers and strengths and weaknesses and projections and mock drafts and big boards ahead of the draft. The lottery is May 12th. I'm hoping to get that out around then. And that's going to be behind the paywall. So if you want to access it, go check out allchgo.com and learn more about becoming a diehard member. You get a free shirt when you sign up. You get 20% off all events. I believe we have a golf tournament on June 7th. We just had our draft party for the NFL draft, which was a lot of fun and so much more stuff. So if you want to ask us questions or check in on our members only Discord, you got to be a diehard to get in there. So go to allchgo.com to find out more about becoming a diehard and supporting us here and everything we're doing.
I promise y'all I'm going to get on the Discord. I promise you, I'm terrible at getting on it. It doesn't cross my mind. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't. But I promise, I made that promise that I would, and I will be on it. And I'm a man of my word. I pride myself on that. So yes, I will be on the Discord all up in your face, talking Bulls or whatever else you want to discuss with me, man. So I'll be there. I know you're asking for me.
And I'll be doing probably some, we'll be doing also some mailbag episodes. And I think it would be great for us to either take questions only from the Discord or make that stuff paywalled so only our subscribers can get it. But just trying to make the most of that. I'm in there just kind of lurking for the most part. But anytime you guys have questions, you can feel free to hit me up and ask me anything you want about the Bulls or Kendrick Lamar diss tracks or whatever it is you want to talk about.
Tell you, Paul, I'm going to be there, Paul, all right? I'm going to be there. I promise you. I'm going to be there.
Wow.
All right. All right. Well, you wanted to continue talking about DeMar DeRozan. I had him as one of the best moves AK made, and my argument was more so from the production of DeMar DeRozan, but your disagreement comes more so from the contract side.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even necessarily call it a disagreement. You know, I didn't have DeMar as one of my worst signings, but I did kind of have him in a dishonorable mentions section. Just because like DeRozan was a free agent at the time and the Bulls were above the salary cap, so they needed to pull off a sign and trade in order to get him. Well, in order to do that, you had to send over Thaddeus Young and Al-Farouq Aminu. Both of those guys had money on their contracts beyond this year. So the Spurs were like, I don't want to take on this long-term money. You got to give me a pick if I'm going to do that. So the Bulls said, okay, we're going to give you this top 10 protected pick in 2025. And that we'll call it even on that. And, you know, DeRozan, you sign him for, I think it was like roughly $28.5 million annual value for 3 years. No doubt about it. He has performed at a max player level. So he's exceeded the value of that contract. But because you had to, because you overpaid so much for Vucevic, you had to take back Al-Farouq Aminu in that contract. You had to offload that contract with another pick. It just, to me, it wasn't a great allocation of resources. And, you know, if DeRozan walks this year and the Bulls are, you know, that experience is over, now you're looking at giving up a pick past when that guy you signed is even on the team. So I think that's always going to be a huge risk to give up a pick beyond when the player you're signing will be under contract. And again, I think DeRozan has been outstanding. This is not to take away from his play at all, but just from like a cap management and asset management standpoint, that was a big risk. And, you know, what happens if they keep DeRozan and they continue on this path and now you give up the 11th pick again to, you know, the Spurs after in next year's draft? Like that could be close to disastrous. And I think that could really set the Bulls back a lot. So was it worth it to get these 3 years of one playoff run? I would say no. But that doesn't take away from how good DeRozan's been. It's just, again, talking about the actual cap elements of it and the risk management associated with giving up lightly protected picks 3 years down the line. So it wasn't my least favorite move of AK's. There's a couple ahead of that, but that was one that gave me pause. But he's just been so good that I didn't want to put it in my top three.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And for me, anytime you're trying to win, you're going to have to take a risk. Especially get a player that can help your team. And so it's hard for me to put it on my worst or something like that when I know that a lot of the things that went on around him had nothing to do with him. So the value of what they gave up and the contract, I mean, it didn't include an injury, you know, to Ball. It didn't include Zach LaVine imploding. It didn't include a re-signing of Vooch, you know, and all those bad things happening or Patrick Williams not growing into what they thought he would be, you know, right now, a little bit better than what he is right now. I can't put that on DeMar DeRozan.
You're giving away the rest of my list, Dave.
But I'm saying I can't put that on mine too. But I can't put that on him for those reasons. But he's been amazing. But everything you said is correct. You're right. It's a risk, and it could end up being a bad situation next year for the Bulls in a draft that is supposed to be loaded as opposed to what's going on this season. So, but it's a risk, but that's the only way I know to do it if you're trying to win. And at that point in time, it made sense for that risk because they were actually trying to win and be a team like that. It just did not work out.
Bulls, and I think also like, you know, DeRozan, we've talked about this a lot with Vooch, for example, but like DeRozan was probably not going to sign with the Clippers for the $10 million mid-level exception or like choose the Bulls for $15 million, like a $5 million difference there where you can go compete for a championship in your hometown versus come be the man with this new team that they're putting together. I don't know if that's really worth it for a guy like DeMar, but $28 million, that seemed like a massive overpay compared to what the rest of the market was offering. Mm-hmm. And again, that's fine in terms of the value that he exceeded, but then to give up a pick in order to have the rights to overpay relative to the rest of the market. I just think there was a lot of risk there and it didn't work out. But to me, number one on my list of, you know, worst moves is what ensued, which is 3 seasons of inactivity. And that's not specifically one thing, but I'm lumping that together. You cannot go 3 years without making a trade, without, you know, making an impact move to improve your odds as a team. Mm-hmm. And that was 3 off seasons and 3 trade deadlines of just not doing anything, of being satisfied with the results, of being hamstrung by some of the other bad contracts that you'd given out. And to me, like that is offense number one, because I always feel like there's always something you can do. You may not have been willing to go down, but there's just always got to be a move available to either help yourself get out of a jam or help yourself get to the step where now you're one move away from being able to get out of the jam. And to not do anything, I think, you know, we've talked about it a ton, but I think it speaks to a lack of vision, a lack of confidence in your ability to scout players through pro personnel, through the draft. And I think it's just really set this team back, especially when you consider all the injuries and all the underperformance over that same time. I think that was the fatal blow to this era of Bulls basketball, in my opinion.
You get no argument out of me, sir. For me, my top was not trading Alex Caruso. Still having Alex Caruso on the team. Will, I like to say that you and I think all of us, what I like about doing this show so much is we all share the same vision, but we all share a different vision on how to tear something down. Like, we all saw the writing on the wall. And you mentioned, and you were writing stories immediately, like, this needs to change, blow it up. Marcade was on the same, and Matt was on the same as well. My version of blowing it up was getting rid of Caruso and trading him, you know what I mean? And getting something for him, because I felt like you could still be a good team or a solid team or whatever team they were trying to be, but by not him not being here. You could still be that team. Of course, you'll probably lose a game here and there. You'll give up a few more points here and there. You know, certain things will change because he's that good of a basketball player. But what you've gotten back for a guy who was that large at that point in time when I was trying to trade him, who was colossal, and we knew where this team was going. We kind of knew where they were headed, and they went there for sure. And to not make that move and let him go and get back what I thought would have been something real substantial, I thought was just a really, really, really terrible move. And it's one of those things that started setting this team back further and further and further. That inactivity on a player that everybody really wanted. They really wanted Alex Caruso, and teams are willing to give up stuff. Rumored, you know, allegedly, these things we were hearing.
I mean, but Adrian Wojnarowski said like on his podcast, the Bulls could have easily gotten 2 first-round picks for Alex Caruso if they wanted to go that direction.
Ridiculous, bro. Come on,
and like
man.
Dreds is saying, I don't like the get rid of Caruso train that y'all on. Like, I get it. I've spoken ad nauseum about how much I appreciate Caruso as a player and what he does. But at the end of the day, like, this team is stuck in the middle and you don't have very many options to get better. And trading Caruso for a haul of picks or for a young player and a pick, that's one of your only avenues out of the middle. It's not about not wanting Caruso. Like, I think it'd be awesome if the Bulls were able to be good and Caruso was on that team, that'd be preferable. Like, I think it'd be awesome if Caruso came back and was a coach with the Bulls one day. Like, I think he should be ingrained in that Bulls family, in that Bulls, you know, community for as long as he wants to be. But at the end of the day, like, what I'm more concerned about is trying to figure out a way to get this team to compete for championships. And they are just not on that right track. And that's like, Caruso is probably within my sort of, you know, umbrella term of 3 seasons of inactivity. Caruso's got to be number one on that list. Again, I love watching Caruso play. He's been great with the media. He's been outstanding on the court. But this is not a question of, you know, how good do I think Caruso is? It's a question of value, asset management, and building a roster that can compete for championships, because that's what I want to see happen.
Yeah, and you weren't going to do any of those things by continuing to hold on to him. You can really start over and reset your whole team. 2 first-round picks, bro. Two for a bench player is unheard of. It's unheard of, man. You got to make that move. Will, you're number two, sir.
Number two, I'm doing another pairing. That would be the Vooch trade and the Vooch extension, the combo of the two, I think. The doubling down was the rough part for me. So at the initial time of the trade, I thought, you know what? Okay, Vooch, all-star caliber player. He can shoot the three. He can play through the post. He can facilitate. That's a useful offensive weapon. And I immediately saw the vision of what AK was trying to build. And I liked it. I mean, it worked for a time.
Yeah.
But I also felt like two lightly protected first-round picks, top four, plus Wendell Carter. And I know some people are higher on Wendell than others. Some people are much lower. I thought Wendell was a fine player. I think he's a solid starter. He's probably between like the 15th and 20th best starter at center in this league. But where's Vooch right now? Is he in that same category? Is he worse? I'm not sure, but the Bulls are stuck with him for 2 more years now, and I don't see his contract being movable as far as being able to get positive value or even close to the value that you gave up for him. Obviously, the pick that they sent away to the Magic in the 2021 draft turned into Franz Wagner. He is a rising star. He's going to be a fantastic player. Jet Howard, not so great in his rookie year, didn't really play. But again, it's more about process for me, and it's about asset management, understanding the value of certain things. And I totally agree with your point, Dave, that like you're going to have to take some risks if you're going to go for it with big name players. And so I got it. But then it was doubling down on it with the extension and in conjunction with not making any other moves, 3 seasons of inactivity, where you're not helping yourself in any way. You're recommitting to a team that is clearly kind of circling the drain. And now you're kind of stuck in the same situation, and not learning from your mistakes is, I think, what kind of puts you in a position where you're a little bit scared or you're a little bit unable to make other moves. And now you're stuck in this cycle of being a mediocre team without a lot of flexibility, without a lot of avenues out. And the ones that you do have, you're unwilling to take because you don't want to get bad first. And so it's kind of these things feeding into one another, and not really understanding and learning from your mistakes to reset things when you have the option. And now you're in a position where you're kind of married to Vooch for 2 additional years. And like, what are you accomplishing during those 2 years? So to me, I felt like the trade would have been fine if they had just kept on going and building. But the fact that they didn't, but they kept on with him, with Vooch. Again, I think Vooch is a fine player, but it's not necessarily about him as a player. It's more about the roster building process. And to me, it felt like that move and that extension in particular kind of represent the lack of vision and the short-sightedness associated with building this roster.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Well, we're on the same page. That's who I have for number two, was re-signing Vooch. The trade, when it happened, I don't, it's hard for me to fault people when trades like that occur. I was happy with the trade. I was on the other side of that Wendell Carter Jr. Feeling. I was ready for him to get a new scenery, because some guys I just know will be better, or I think just need a change of scenery to start over. Because playing in cities, certain cities like Chicago or New York or LA, everybody, or even Miami, you know what I mean? Everybody ain't really cut for those certain kind of things. Some people are better in those smaller markets like that. And I thought Wendell kind of would be a better serve down there in Orlando. And he was, like, when he got down there, he immediately just kind of became more of himself. He's still a cool player. Like, he's all right. You know what I mean? But I think he's more confident now. And I think that's the difference. We didn't even think he could catch a basketball while he was here. All right. It was a different kind of guy when he was here. But when they traded for Vooch again, that signals to me that, okay, we're going for it. And anytime somebody makes that kind of move, it lets me know you're going for it. I'm going to be like, okay, fine, let's do it then. Let's see how it works out. And it wasn't, Will, so much the fact that, like you stated just eloquently, like you just said, sir, wasn't so much the fact that you did it. It's the doubling down on it when you saw the mistake that it was. And not only doubling down, but doubling down in such a way that nobody else was even looking at. Nobody else was even thinking about re-signing him. And it wasn't like you were getting him because the rest of the league wanted him, or even one team wanted him in the league. It was just you wanted him and said, nope, we're going to double down on this dude. We know he's declining. We see he's not producing here like he's been producing. We know he's going to the other side of his career. That's what the numbers and every single metric is showing. But we're going to give him more money and stick with it. That makes no sense at all to do something like that. And how does that help your team? I was lost when that happened, but we all knew it was kind of coming. We all knew it was on the way. I was completely fine with them letting him walk, but I wasn't cool with giving him that kind of money, man. But goodness gracious, bro. Like, and it's been what we thought it was going to be since he re-signed him. You know what I mean? It's been exactly that. And I just fear that it's going to be more of the same. Of course, we could be wrong about that. Of course, can it get a resurgence, you know, or something like that? But nothing has shown that it can be that. We just see a guy with a big contract who is on the downside of his career, and we've got 2 more years of it.
Yeah. And I think like you look at some of these other teams around the league, watching the playoffs and understanding, you know, how these teams built themselves up and what's working and what's not. I mean, without a doubt, these like, you know, Frankenstein teams built on older players traded for too many assets. Like those are the teams that are failing out of the playoffs right now. The Lakers are out of the playoffs. The Warriors are out of the playoffs. The Suns, the Clippers are on the verge right now. The 76ers, obviously, you know, those guys are homegrown, but like they've just done so much with their roster that it became hard to function at a high level. And then you look at the other side of it, the teams like the Thunder who traded away their picks they traded away their stars at the highest value. And now you've got this like overwhelming collection of picks coming in. And the idea that like the Thunder tanked for 10 years, I mean, they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. It was like Billy in the bubble. They were in the playoffs every year until that. And then Billy moved on. They missed the playoffs twice. And now they're in the conference semifinals. Same with the Magic. You helped set them up to the point where now they've exceeded your heights as a team. I mean, they've won 2 games in the first round. That's further than the Bulls have made it and probably will make it with their group as currently constructed. And so, again, it's learning from the lessons. It's not doubling down on it. And that's where the Vooch extension, I think, becomes a real lesson that AK needs to learn from here as he gets into his next phase of roster building.
Eco Bean, no, his confidence was not fine. Like, he can say that his confidence was cool, but saying ain't like doing, because like I said, on the floor, he couldn't catch a ball, bro. Like, we thought there was a problem with his hands. There was a straight up problem with the man's hands and catching a basketball. Like, he couldn't stay healthy either. Like, those were real issues going on with Wendell when he was here. All that, when he left and he got some eyeglasses and they showed those things kind of changed. And he found a team that was more supportive of him also. Like, those kind of things matter.
It's the process. It's not necessarily like arguing about how good Wendell is. It's like the idea of trading 2 future first round picks and a good young player for, you know, a guy who is in his 30s at the absolute peak of his value. That's just not a winning proposition. And, you know, if Vooch was Embiid, it's probably a different story, right? But he's not. And that's kind of the reason why you were only able to get him for 2 picks instead of 3. And I think that also kind of represents this like half going all in. Like, you didn't do the like 4 picks and 2 young players for Rudy Gobert deal. You did that twice, but you ended up in the same spot, just not as good because the players you traded for weren't as good. And the rest of the team you built around them wasn't as good. So for me, that kind of takes me into my last one, which at the time I agreed with, but in retrospect, it has turned out to not really work out the way that I think everybody would have hoped. And that is the Zach LaVine max contract. Again, you know, he earned it. He was playing at a super high level. He played through injury. He got the team to the playoffs for the first time in however many years. And he was playing at a super high level, coming off an all-star appearance. He was only 27 or 28 at the time. So you're paying him for like the heart of his prime. I didn't think it was that bad of a move, but the way that the NBA has changed around them, and of course there's like this curveball of the new CBA coming in and making those big contracts just even less palatable to teams. But the fact that you're either looking at salary dumping him or having to attach a pick to move off of him, I think that just represents really bad value. I mean, Zach LaVine's a negative asset right now. You can say it's fair. You can say it's not. You can say it's his fault. You can say it's not his fault. You can say he's a winning player. You can say he's not a winning player. Whatever you feel about Zach LaVine, the league is telling you what they think about Zach LaVine. And what they think is that there's no interest in him. He's not a positive asset. He's not a positive value play. And the Bulls are stuck with him now for 3 more years. And, you know, I do think they will be able to move off of him. It just depends on what you're going to get. But
correct.
I mean, you're in a situation now where at best you're getting cap space for LaVine. And, you know, if you look at other teams trying to flip max contracts for other assets, they're looking at how to set themselves up for the future. And the Bulls, unfortunately, just can't put themselves in that position because that LaVine contract has turned into an albatross. And again, fair or not, at the time I agreed with it, but this is the reality of the situation. It has turned out really poorly.
Yeah, for me, Will, I had what you had at number one at number three. Just not doing anything, making no trades and no moves at all. Drove me absolutely insane, as you saw during those shows we did for the draft. I'm sorry, not the draft, but the trade deadline. I lost my mind both years, and I couldn't understand it because it made no logical sense to me why you would do nothing. And then the tiny things, it was making little tiny moves that you would see championship or winning teams do that you can explain because you're like, we already have won before. We've done certain things. We can just add these, you know, other players, you know, right here. And just, you know, these little tiny moves we can do. And then, yeah, we'll go win. And it's like, no, you cannot. That is not how it works. You are not this good of a basketball team.
You're a playing team. Adding Javon Carter does not make you a contender.
It does not. Does not make you contender. Not even that. I'm talking adding even Javonte Green to it does not make you a contender. You know what I'm saying? Like doing those kind of tiny moves is what I'm saying. When you're doing absolutely nothing, then to come in with the arrogance and you're telling people, no, man, well, just watch what we do. You know what I mean? Just see how it works out and then come talk to me. Like that's it for me. That was a slap in the face to a lot of people who can really see what you're doing, dog. That's insulting. So insulting your people doesn't go well for me either. And then not knowing where you are and where you stand as far as your team in the standings was disappointing to hear. So to hear all those things and then to do nothing and to make no trades and to do anything like that. Yes, you brought in Patton. Yes, those are things, but you needed to do that years ago. I'm glad you did it now. Thank you. It's cool. But you needed players. You needed to make these moves to improve your team for the future because we know what this team is. We already knew they were play-in team or a team that's going to be in the lottery. We already knew that. So to you to sit there and do nothing and then act like it was cool, that's what was the most frustrating, man. And it drove me crazy, Will.
1,000% with you. And I think it's that lack of self-awareness that now makes this offseason as pivotal as it is. And it makes me nervous that, you know, there's going to be a continued effort to be competitive. And I know AK came out and said we weren't good enough, but he didn't say we need to start over. He said we need to be better. And yeah, we're going to have to see if he's able to pull a rabbit out of a hat, if he can, you know, turn his team around in a way that very few other executives have been successful doing. I think in a lot of ways, it's you rebuild through the draft. AK does not want to do that, or it does not seem that he wants to, but that's the situation we're in. And you can only hope that he learns lessons from previous mistakes and that he can continue to find creative ways to find solutions. And that's why this offseason is going to be so interesting, because you've got this big Zach LaVine max contract that you hope to move. You've got, you know, this Vooch deal that is blocking up some space and that's preventing you from giving DeRozan as much as you feel like you want to. But is that even a good idea? Because you've seen what happens when you double down on these extensions with these aging veteran players. So we'll have to see. But all we can say is that we hope that AK learns from previous mistakes and follows more along suit with some of the positive deals that he's made, because that has been building players organically through the draft as young players, developing, getting them on good contracts, and then moving forward. So we will have to see.
All right, well, we're about to get out of here, but real quickly, NBA playoff basketball, Knicks are moving on. They beat the Sixers 118-115. Jalen Brunson, Will, was great.
Jalen Brunson, extremely good. I mean, I don't know how much more I can say about the way that he played, the way that he carried the Knicks, just outstanding effort. And it's great to see Tibbs successful. And I know there's some feelings there with the Knicks, but at the end of the day, I'm happy for Tibbs.
All right. I wish I could feel the same. He's wearing the wrong jersey, so I will not be saying those things. The Pacers are their team they're going to be facing because they destroyed the Bucks 120-98. Will, as Will predicted, the Pacers would win this series. Congratulations, GOAT.
Yeah, I'm super excited to watch them play against the Knicks. I think that'll be a real clash of styles where you've got this like half court heavy offensive rebounding team, and then you've got on the other side this team that loves to get on transition and shoot threes, get downhill and spray it out. And so whose style of play will win, who will impose their style of play on the other? I think it's gonna be a great series. I'd probably lean towards the Knicks in like six, maybe seven games, but I think it's gonna be a great series.
Yeah, I do too. Two games tonight could be closeout games, Cavs and Magic. Cavs up 3-2. Do the Cavs close it out, Will?
I think we're on seven in this series, so ooh, I'll go with the Magic.
And Clippers and Mavs up 3-2. Who wins this one?
I'm going with the Mavs. They're going to close out and face the Thunder in round two. I think that'll be an excellent series as well.
I think the Cavs and the Mavs are going to both close it out tonight. I think it's okay. But I hope both go to game seven because I'm selfish like that. So thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for rolling with us, man. Thank y'all for being in the comments, talking to us, making us laugh, having your statements to say. Thank you to our guy, Lawrence, who can now go home and be with his wonderful family. Thank you for producing this show, sir. Thank you for all the love.
Always, man. I mean, I thought we were going to rip on Pat Bev for like 40 minutes, but can we like get rid of his Chicago card? Tell him he can't come back here.
Yeah, you guys can have him back. You can take Anthony Davis. He's a Packer fan. Like, get him out of here.
Loser mentality.
Oh, man.
Get him out of here.
Oh, wow.
I'm putting on my best peck right now.
I see. You got to yell a little more, Will. Throw some hats, though. We got to get some hats for you.
Gotta find some hats.
There you go. There you go, man. Well, on behalf of our guy, Matt Peck, who will be back with us on Monday, my guy, Lawrence, man. Of course, Will, the GOAT, Gottlieb. I am Big Dave. Thank y'all for rolling with us. We'll see y'all Monday, man. Enjoy the playoffs this weekend. And enjoy your families and all that. We out.
See you. Be good.
We all silly like the mayor.